scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Like I said, we'll continue to mix in your Celtics calls throughout this final hour. It was a big game last night, but there is other things to talk about. You know, it is our show, and we'll do what we want. You don't like it? Tough. Start your own podcast. I'll recommend a microphone for you. Electro Voice RE20. It's like $400. Go buy it. It's worth it. You want it to sound good. Get yourself a mixer.
I just started a new podcast.
Oh, right. Yes.
Podcast at Channel 5.
Podcast.
So yeah. I need some of this advice. So we're in the market for a mixer. So what mixer would you recommend?
I like the Behringer brand, I think. Okay. It's a Tom Behringer. It's got Tom Behringer. You can usually get one of those, mid-range one for like $100-$150. There's probably something better at this point, but
yeah, I was gonna say, we need something where we can route people in from the outside.
I like a lot of analog equipment where you're using the old XLR cables and what have you. I don't need to have it all digitized or anything like that, but I like Behringer mixes. You really want to invest in the microphone. Then you get your setup there, some audio editing software, and you can start your podcast that no one will listen to. Chris, college football, SEC, real college football has returned today.
Yes, this is the first real week of the season.
Pac-12, MAC, Mountain West, they've now all announced their returns. Just three FBS teams have canceled due to the Rona, New Mexico State, Old Dominion, and down the pike we have UConn as well. And other than that, college football's back. And we're watching this Florida Ole Miss game up here on one of our TVs here in the studio, and the place looks about 25% full, maybe. That
sounds
might be a little bit
right.
High, maybe 17,000-20,000 people in there. They got fans in stadiums, especially in these Republican states, like, yeah, come on back, we're open for business. And boy, you love it, don't you?
Like, I do. I mean, this is
where
great.
This is where you truly become the ugly American.
Oh, I'm totally an ugly American. I mean, anything, you know how thoroughly I wipe down when I come in here. I wear gloves. Like, I am all about trying to be safe when it comes to coronavirus. But when it comes to college football, I'm like, yeah, let's put up some protocols and let's play the games. And they've all come crawling back, baby. The Pac-12, the Mountain West, the MAC, all those people who tried to derail my beloved college football season, they've all come crawling back to put seasons out there, to have their teams on the field. And it's going to end December 19th, December 20th. We'll get the college football playoff picks. And, you know, in all seriousness, here's what I would say about it. And I am biased because I love college football. Just because you start the season and try to play it, that doesn't mean you have to finish it. If we get to a point where it's really unsafe for everybody involved, players, coaches, even some of these places where there are fans, I'll be the first one, in all seriousness, saying shut it down.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, too. Like, if it really starts to go the other way and you have, you know, mass infections and it's, you know, it's dire. We know what dire would look like. Then, yeah, you got to shut it down. I'm with you there.
I just thought that some of the leagues were a little bit, I would say, presumptuous in the case of the Big Ten, basically assuming like, oh, well, there can't be a college football season without us. And once we say we're out, everybody else will follow suit. That didn't happen. And then I think some of them were a little hasty. You know, the MAC was the first one to say they were out. And then the Mountain West was there. I feel like the Mountain West was just sort of following the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 was just following the Big Ten too. So I think that maybe they should have waited a little bit longer. But this is, for all intents and purposes, the first real Saturday of the college football season because the SEC is back. And I always knew the SEC, God love them. It's religion down there. They're playing come hell or high water. It doesn't matter. They're playing.
Yeah, and I'm glad, too. Like, again, I'm with you in that. If anything becomes dire, you've got to reverse course,
totally.
Shut it down, and do the right thing. But in the face of this, like, I just, these fear-based decisions, I'm like, oh, no, we can't do that. Like, no, I've said it really since day one, and when this hell pandemic set in back 6 months ago, right? Seven, whatever the hell it is. It's never-ending year. Back in March, like, can we at least try? Like, whether it's sports, whatever your business avenue happens to be, can we try? And if it's if things start to go the other way, then okay, we'll reverse course, we'll shut it down, and we'll do the right thing. But if you have a crack in the window, well, you should try to go through that crack and see what happens.
And honestly,
I'm glad that college football's doing it. I really am.
Yeah, no, I am too. And honestly, just, you know, on a personal level, as you call this, you know, sort of the pandemic hell year, like, I need this.
I think a lot of people do.
I need this so badly. Like, this is...
Not just
college
fans,
football,
but like,
is my nirvana. It's my safe space. My safe place. I need this. I need these college football Saturdays so badly, just from a mental health standpoint.
Yeah, and this is how I felt about the return of the NFL too. And I'm glad that they've been able to pull this off. You're starting to see some fans in some of these stadiums. If you happen to watch the most Thursday of Thursday night games, Miami against Jacksonville on this past Thursday night, they call that a Jim Murray special. You
yes.
see that the Jacksonville Stadium, I forget what the hell it's called at this point, they're allowing some fans in. I would like to think that maybe they'll change things here, although I don't feel great about it. And you get to get maybe 10%, maybe up to 17,000 people in Gillette Stadium before the season's out. Like, okay, you know, slowly but surely we're getting there. And as the Patriots are back home tomorrow hosting the Las Vegas Raiders, I said it earlier to start our show around 11 o'clock. Like, I don't know. I tried talking myself into this being a competitive game tomorrow. I ultimately don't think it's going to be because it's a short week for the Raiders, who just beat the Saints in their home opener in Las Vegas Monday. They're really banged up, especially in their offensive line, which is their strength. No Trent Brown. He's been ruled out. They put Richie Incognito, the guard, on IR. Josh Jacobs is playing, but he got banged up. Waller, the tight end, is all world. Like, he's nasty. He reminds me of, like, a young Gronk. But I don't know. I don't like the spot. As well as the Patriots played, especially offensively in Seattle, like, I just think they're going to end up rolling tomorrow. That said, I think the more interesting thing to talk about with that team is, are they worth adding to? Are they worth adding to at 1-1? But the performance against the Seahawks, do you think this is going to be a better season for them than maybe many anticipated?
I do. I think they changed the, you know, you talk about in baseball, change the eye level. I think from a football standpoint, the Patriots changed the eye level of expectations for this season with the way they played against Seattle on the road. And it feels like they're maybe a couple of pieces away from being able to challenge a Kansas City, challenge a Baltimore in the AFC legitimately. They have the biggest piece, the quarterback.
Yeah.
The quarterback has gone from being the biggest question mark
to being their best attribute.
To being their
offense.
Best attribute and the biggest piece that they have that says this team can be a contender. I think they need to get Cam Newton more help the same way they needed to get Tom Brady more help the last couple of years. They just have to choose wisely, which has been an issue the last couple of years.
Yeah, obviously the Mohamed Sanu thing blew up in their face.
Did you hear his comments, by the way?
I did. I saw
that
some
was,
of that.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, he didn't. It was basically just said it was a bad fit.
Yeah, he said it was a bad fit, but he also said this culture, talking about San Francisco's culture, this culture fits me better or something. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically, I mean, there was an allusion to he didn't necessarily like the Patriots culture.
Huh. It's almost, if I had to translate that, I didn't like being asked to be a return man, something I'd only ever done once, ever, while playing football. And then while doing so, I got hurt. Thank you very much, Bill Belichick. And then my season went right to hell. Because before that, I mean, he was good in that Baltimore
loss.
Yeah,
he was solid. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, that's how I take that. But that said, who? So,
yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr., that's been kicked around.
Uh-huh.
I also saw that former Patriot Rob Ninkovich said this week he had them tied to maybe Jarvis Landry, who I will say, of the Browns wide receivers. I would much rather Jarvis Landry than Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr., while talented, I don't know. I sometimes think he runs a little too hot.
Okay.
I certainly would like the entertainment value of him driving Mike Felger nuts.
Oh, that would be tremendous. Mike hates the diva wide receiver.
Oh, he does. Yeah. And I know that he and Cam Newton have a rapport, but Landry is like almost like a leaner Anquan Boldin to me. Like, he is a tough SOB. Of the LSU receivers, I take him. I love him.
That's, you know, I love that analogy or that comparison you just made. Yeah, he is similar to Anquan Boldin. He's tough. He'll go over the middle. And you remember, I can't remember what game it was, but there was one game here at Gillette where Belichick was mic'd up and they played Miami and he kept screaming, "Where's Landry? Where's Landry?"
Oh, yeah.
Like, so you know he has a ton of respect for him. And I think that his toughness, his ability to be an inside receiver and make plays there would probably, for what the Patriots do, be a better fit than Odell Beckham Jr. I'm just looking at the contract here. $12.5 million next year for Landry, $14.3 million after that. They probably would ask him to take a little bit of a haircut there. But I wouldn't be anti-Jarvis Landry if he's available. I would be down for that. I don't know how realistic that is. I mean, I'll throw out some other names that I'm interested in. A guy like Marvin Jones from Detroit.
Sure.
I like him. He would be somebody that would certainly interest me. You could see what's up with Cincinnati, John Ross, A.J. Green. I they have a glut of wide receivers there. You look at...
I think A.J. Green's cooked.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Way too injury-riddled at this point.
Now we're sort of going down a little bit.
Yeah, it gets real bargain basement fast.
D.D. Westbrook actually played the other night for Jacksonville. And I thought he looked decent. I mean, he didn't put up numbers, but he forced that pass interference in the end zone. He's in the doghouse down there, but I think he could help you. He's not in the class of a Landry, an Odell Beckham Jr., or an Allen Robinson, but I would still be down for him. Would you take a guy like Kenny Stills from Houston?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would take Kenny Stills.
He's always played well against the Patriots, so that's another name I'll throw out there. And then here's a name I like, but I just don't think Mike Vrabel and Jonathan Robinson, I think they're all in on this year. Corey Davis, who also has played well against the Patriots.
I just don't know why they'd move him.
Yeah, I just don't see them moving him in the middle of a season where they can contend. But the trade deadline's November 3rd, so we'll see how long. You know, Bill could wait until the end to see if some of these teams that think they have a shot find out they really don't have a shot, and maybe some of these guys become available. So that's kind of my list. I don't know who's on your list.
No, like I try to, you know, realize they're probably not going to get these bigger names. Like, again, like Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry. Like, I don't know. I the more realistic thing is someone like a Marvin Jones. So someone out of Detroit. Really, Chris, anyone. Anyone that's like halfway decent that's put up maybe 650 to 700 yards at one point in their career, because they need some help there. I think it's one of their thinnest areas. I'd like to see them add at wide receiver, and I certainly would like to see them add at linebacker or somewhere in the front seven as well. So if you have any concerns about the defense, I want to hear about that, Chris, coming up as the Patriots get ready to take on the Vegas Raiders at Gillette Stadium tomorrow at 1 o'clock. You want to talk Pats as well. We can mix in some of those calls. I see some of you hanging still want to talk about the Celtics. We'll get to those calls next here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murr, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
My focus is short term, and that has a lot to do with the Las Vegas Raiders. And I understand where we're trying to go, and I understand the questions that you're asking. But I'm going to say it again. That's not my focus. If that would have been the case, I would have did more. I would have said more. I would have waited more. I would have like that's irrelevant. You know what I'm saying? Like for me right now, it's all about winning. Like let's get back to that. Like we got too many people worried about chasing the bag. Like the bag. If you do what you're supposed to do, everything else is gonna take care of itself.
Patriots quarterback Cam Newton. This week when he was asked about are you thinking about an extension, because all of a sudden that talk has got real crazy after the Patriots lost to the Seattle Seahawks this past Sunday night.
Chris, why are you saying it like that,
Chris? Because I the narrative's a little annoying. It was very encouraging. I said it in the post game. I said it all week with Felger and Naz. I said it earlier today. It's very encouraging what we saw in the Patriots loss to the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday night. The narrative has been as if they walked out of Seattle with a win. They didn't win that game. Cam Newton got stopped at the one on the final play. The play that it was sniffed out by Pete Carroll. You got outsmarted by Pete Carroll. And so, I don't know, like all of a sudden after that game, it's, well, now we have to extend Cam Newton. Cam Newton's going to be the future quarterback here. Like he's going to be here for the next few years. Like all of that just feels, and I get it. This is what happens. We do it in the media. Fans do it. Like it's been two games. And I would also caution people, I know it's apples to oranges, but I don't know, like, there's a durability issue here with this quarterback. And there was a durability issue with, Chris Sale. And then they gave him that crazy extension. And now they've lived to regret it, the Boston Red Sox. So, like, I would hate for the Patriots to prematurely pay this dude now when he has the shoulder issue, the Lisfranc issue. He's in his 30s, early 30s still. I know he's a former MVP. He's looked really good here. It looks like it works. But when you have durability and further performance on the table, just wait. There's no rush to do this. And if you're Cam Newton, there's no rush to do it either, because if you really rehabilitate yourself here in that the rest of the league now realizes, oh, wow, he actually is healthy, he's back, you're going to be up for a massive payday this offseason. It'd be crazy for him to try to sign some kind of extension with this team right now.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't really looked at it from Cam's. You know, he's just drinking the Kool-Aid so much that I hadn't really even looked at
it.
Look,
that's a perfect standpoint. It's a perfect answer. Whether he was asked about it in the press conference or his weekly interview at our competitor, like he's saying all the right things, and I tip my cap to him. Like he's a perfect patriot in terms of how he's carrying himself and you know how he's become pretty robotic. You know, Bill had him drink the Kool-Aid pretty quickly.
Oh, so, definitely. I almost swore again. He laced that stuff pretty good.
So again, great answer there. So, you know, I'm not worried about getting that bag now. We'll see what happens later. Like, but it's way too soon, I think, for people to be talking about this. Do you?
Well, I'm hedging here, and here's why. Because I was a proponent of Cam Newton coming here. They got him on a great deal. And my history covering the NFL is rooted in this one quote from Vince Wilfork that he told me years ago when I called him. His lovely, beautiful wife, Bianca, picked up the phone and put Vince on the phone on a golf course because he was mad about his contract. And he said, tell the Patriots, the longer this goes, the price only goes up. And that's true. So if you can sign Cam now, while he's feeling good and drinking the Kool-Aid and maybe still remembering the 86 days no one wanted him, you might be able to get him cheaper than if you wait till the end of the year and he's feeling good about himself. Look, obviously there's an injury risk situation there, but the Patriots are masters of the incentive-laden contract. Gee Willikers, little foreshadowing. The greatest quarterback of all time had a contract set up with per-game roster bonuses, which means you don't get the money unless you're active. So I still think there's ways around it. So that's why I'm not as gung-ho as other people, but I'm not like you to wait till the end of the year, because I think the better deal would be to do it now while he's maybe still sort of vulnerable.
Okay.
And Belichick can just swoop in.
Yeah. So then season comes to the end, so they don't give them the extension now, though. Let's just try to play this out. They go 9-7, they win wild card weekend, say they lose divisional, or even they go to the AFC Championship game and they defy expectations but lose to whoever, Pittsburgh, whoever it happens to be. Should he be the future quarterback here? Like, even if the price does go up week to week, like Vince Wilfork once said to you, like,
yeah,
he should be the guy here for the next few years and
next, let's say, 3 years.
Yeah.
Just buys you more time. Look, whoever it is. And when Brady came back, it was the same thing, if he was going to come back. And this is one of the reasons they were interested in having him back, and obviously it didn't go quite the way they thought. Brady left. Whoever the quarterback is at this point is a bridge quarterback. It's not like the way they felt about Garoppolo, where this could be our quarterback for the next 10 years. I feel like whoever that person is, at least if that guy's a veteran, I should say, I should phrase it that way. If that guy's a veteran, doesn't have to be 43 years old, he could be 32 years old, that's a bridge quarterback to the next guy long term. So do I think Cam Newton's the quarterback for the next 10 years? No, I don't. Do I think the quarterback for this team for the next 10 years, the next guy for the long term, is currently on the roster? I don't, because I don't think it's Stidham either. But Cam Newton buys you time to find that next guy and still be competitive.
What do you think of their defense? Should they be looking to add at linebacker somewhere in that front seven? And also, this is now going to be the third straight week we don't see Josh Uche, who many people felt bullish about when they drafted him coming into this season. He's going to be able to help in terms of the pass rush. He's got some sort of foot issue.
Yeah.
So he was on the inactive list week one, ruled out for injury week two, and now ruled out for injury again. So how do you feel about that unit overall? And the secondary is also, which was looking like a strength, hadn't been all that great so far in the first couple of games either.
I still feel overall good about the defense. Overall, I am concerned a little bit about up the middle. I still think they need another big body in there. Let's see. Maybe they feel like Bo Allen, who basically is like the Loch Ness monster of the NFL. Like, we've never seen this guy. I think he was at one practice, sort of off to the side. Let's see if he can come back. They signed him to fill a role in the offseason, so they'll probably wait a little on that. And then, you know, I liked what I saw from Uche in training camp. He's a young guy. He's a rookie, sort of can play off the line or on the line. They probably want to see what they have with him. I think defensively they'll hold off probably closer to the deadline to try and see if they can fill these things internally. What I would like, though, what I would like is I see Damon Harrison out there saying he wants to play again, Snacks Harrison, and he's talking to Seattle. Bill, call that guy up. Like, jump on him. That's exactly the type of big body guy you've loved in the past. And if you get that guy, you might not even have to get another linebacker. He'll stop the run on his own.
I should know this. Where was he last?
Detroit.
Why'd he get cut? Because Patricia's an a-hole?
Pretty much.
Okay, that sounds about right.
Yeah, he didn't love the Lions experience.
Well, I don't blame him. Oh, my God, how that guy still has a job is beyond me. Of course, a lot of the talk today is about the Celtics and them forcing a Game 6 in the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll get that tomorrow night with their win over the Heat last night, 121-108. Joe in New York on last night's game. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Great show. My take on the Celtics is that, you know, great showing last night, and regardless of what happens the rest of the series, I'm feeling really positive about them going forward because if you look at the last four seasons when Jaylen Brown and Tatum have both been on the team, they've made the Eastern Conference Finals three out of those four seasons. I don't know. That kind of just occurred to me last night. And the only season they didn't make it was when Kyrie was with them in the playoffs and, you know, they got bounced in five by the Bucks. So, you know, they're still really young, and I think going forward, these guys can win.
All right, Joe.
Yeah,
Joe, feeling good, much like Gasper and Brian Robb of Boston Sports Journal.
Seas train resurrected, baby.
All aboard the Seas train. George and Worcester on Marcus Smart and the Celtics. Go ahead, George.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. What's up?
So I just wanted to make up one. I think I'm like one of the few handful of people that can't stand Marcus Smart. And, you know, he reminds me of, and I'm not saying from the defensive aspect, but he's my Antoine Walker. He's my Eddie House. Every time this guy gets the ball, I know it's not going to be a smart shot, and my heart stops. You know, obviously he has those great games where you're like, all right, you know, he came through tonight. But, like, overall for me, like, anytime this guy touches the ball, I'm like, what is he going to do with it? So he's my Eddie House and Antoine Walker. That's all I wanted to say about that.
You know, the interesting thing about him is he's a fantastic passer. He really is.
Yeah.
And I to your point about the nerds, I think maybe Smart has been influenced more by the current zeitgeist in the NBA than a lot of other players, because he's not a good outside shooter, but the three-pointer has as much value as it's ever had in the game, and so he takes a lot of threes, and he had the game this year. B-Rob, he hit 11 threes in a game this year?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. So, and he's capable of doing it at times, but I think in another era of the NBA, he wouldn't be so eager to jack up the threes, but it's like, that's the thing, like 3 and D, this is it. And so he, I feel like he's influenced by that. Like, it's not all his fault. It's also kind of the current NBA, and he's trying to be something in that current NBA that really doesn't fit his skill set.
Well, for those that don't know, our night show here, Adam Jones and Christian Arcand, especially Jones, has been relentless on the coach of the Celtics, Brad Stevens, referring to him as you know, old Skippy Magoo and G. Willikers, because when he does get hot, he sounds kind of silly because he's just such a kind Midwestern gentleman, that Brad Stevens. In fact, he called it that crap after talking about the antics between some of the Celtics players, especially after game two last night. Like, oh, that crap went away last night and the Celtics win. So they call him G. Willikers. I had yet to hear this. They did a parody song parodying Eminem. This is the real G. Willikers. We're going to play this into break. This will be my first time hearing this, but I've already had friends text me like, can you send me this? Can you send me this? So Chris tells me this is like, you know, this is A-plus quality stuff here.
It's Jim Murray level. It's a Jim Murray level bit.
So thanks to Jones, we had to text him because sometimes you don't know. Like, you're playing my bit. Like, we had to text him and be like, hey, is it cool? So he gave us the thumbs up. We're going to play this into break. When we come back, we're going to crap on J.D. Martinez and get to 5 questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports.
May I have your attention, please? Hey, Marcus, Jaylen, can I have your attention, please? Will the real G. Willikers please stand up? I repeat, will the real G. Willikers please stand up? We're going to have a problem here. Y'all act like you never seen a zone defense before. Jaws all on the floor like Kyrie Irving just burst in the door and started talking some trash worse than before. He asked your boy, what does government mean to you? It's the return of the, wait, no way, you're kidding. He didn't just say what I think he did he? And Adam Jones said, nothing that idiot Adam Jones can get replaced by Arcand. The green teamers love Willikers. Chicka, 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 G. Willikers. I'm sick of Brad. Look at Brad walking around. His little boy haircut. His little boy dress suit. Yeah, but I'm so cute, though. Yeah, I probably got a couple of suits that kind of fit loose, but it's no worse than what's going on in the Celtics locker room. Sometimes I want to blow a gasket and just let loose, but can't. But it's cool for C's fans to say I'll sniff poop. Our coach looks like a kid. Our coach looks like a kid. And if he's lucky, he might just make it to game 6. And that's the message from a bunch of stupid idiots. I expect them not to know how the coaching business this is. Of course they want a coach that draws the play up by the time the Heat wake up, but I am just rooting for Gordon Hayward. We ain't nothing but Bass Bros, bubble life in Orlando, while Robin stays pushing like a Nintendo. But if we can climb about this Olin rally, though, then there's no reason that the Celtics and Lakers just can't be dope. But if you feel like I feel, I want to hear Gino. Women, wave your pantyhose, wait to know if it's kind of gross. I'm G Willikers, I'm the real Willikers. You other G Willikers can go to Hillikers. Won't you pour some 2% in my cup, in my cup, in my cup? Because I'm G Willikers, I'm the real Willikers. You other G Willikers can go to Hillikers. Won't you pour some 2% in my cup, in my cup, in my cup?
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How frustrating has it been for you this year?
It's been very frustrating. I think that's been obvious, Johnny. I think everyone's kind of seen it. You know? I mean, I've sucked. I haven't been very good. But, I mean, I feel like I'm not in the boat alone. I feel like there's a lot of really, really good players and a lot of really good talent out there that's kind of had the same season, if not worse as me. And I think it's just a very weird year. You know, you're expected to perform at elite levels when there's an entire epidemic going on in the world. It's kind of just, I don't know. It's not really an excuse, but it's tough. It's a lot to ask.
Oh, this guy. Excuse-making clown. J.D. Martinez yesterday. So it sounds like he's not opting out for 2021, but Johnny Miller, who works for WBZ AM, asking that question here. I didn't like the snappy retort there from, you would know that, Johnny.
Everybody knows, you know, Johnny's good. He asks a lot of tough questions, but it's sort of one of these things, if you remember years ago, like with Doug Mirabelli, everybody knows that, you know, you don't snap at Johnny.
Yeah.
You know, you don't do it. He's been in the business forever. You know, for those who don't know, he has an ailment, a medical situation, and he perseveres through that to do his job. And so that's kind of the rule. Like, you don't snap at Johnny.
So this whole thing, though, that, he said he didn't want to sound like an excuse maker, but he's using, like, COVID as an excuse as to why he quit on the season. It was just such a horrible look. And I think he has been, you know, the worst part of what was a terrible, mostly unwatchable season for the Red Sox, which mercifully is coming to an end this weekend. Thank Christ. But this comment...
No, I heard there's a Baseball Reporters wrap-up show on Monday.
Chris, I'll throw you out the window. Thank God that show's over. I have to do that extra hour, and now it's out at 6, starting on Monday. But this... You don't seem as irked as I do by this J.D. Martinez comment. Because, like, I don't... Okay. I really only... I never want to talk about this team, but I only do when I get to crap on them, and I think this is a crappable moment for the Red Sox and J.D. Okay. Martinez and how he looked and sounded yesterday like a complete a-hole. Like, I don't know. We could all use COVID and the pandemic and everything going on in the world as an excuse to, you know, half-ass it. But, you know, you don't. You act like a professional. Your teammates did, dude. Like, Xander Bogaerts had a great season. Rafael Devers didn't get off to a great start, but he was a professional and turned things around. Martin Perez, look, as bad as the pitching was, there were some bright spots for this team this year. Martin Perez, that actually worked out for Chaim Bloom. He actually was a decent addition. He can be a decent fourth starter in this rotation going forward. But J.D. Martinez was an embarrassment.
Yeah, no, he definitely struggled this year. I guess maybe I give a little more leeway than some others because it is sort of a bizarre season, and you can certainly make the case that he should have just opted out. I mean, his numbers are terrible, 681 OPS. For me, where I get my backup is when he complains about the video. You know, the coronavirus thing, I sort of get it, and you're right, everybody could use it as an excuse, but I did cover some of the spring training 2.0 games with the empty stands and the whole thing, and it was bizarre. It's weird. It doesn't really feel like baseball, and it's also a 60-game sample size, which is smaller, so that can play with the numbers as well. But my whole thing with him is the video thing. That's where I feel like he comes off poorly and whiny. And my other issue with him particular to the sound you're playing, was snapping at Johnny Miller at that. And I'd say my other issue with him, as I add to the list, was the last time he talked, when he started out the press conference by saying he didn't want to talk about how poorly he was playing this season. That goes to something I always get on, and something I got on Marcus Smart for, which is accountability. When things are going great and you're telling me how great you are and you're pounding your chest and you're hitting 36 home runs and your OPS is 939 last year and you're cracking jokes and, you know, it's all about, you know, how much everybody loves what you do with all your teammates, Jim, and they are all coming to you to go into your quote unquote bag of toys to learn how to hit. And you're front and center for that. But when you're struggling, it's, yeah, don't ask me any questions about struggling. No.
Oh, he's such a baby. Yeah, like, and I get it. Like, you want to have him around because he is good in that lineup. But I just, I wish he had opted to, like, go away. I can't stand a guy like that, especially in this market. People don't want to hear that kind of crap. Like, they don't. The last thing you can do as a professional athlete in this city, I think we all know this, is just kind of act like, oh, just you're so put out and it's so hard. And wah, just don't be wah guy. Like, he would, Mike said it yesterday, it was perfect. He would be such a perfect fit with those chicken and beer Red Sox. Like, sure. That kind of, yeah. Like, oh, you big baby.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Just how he acted yesterday. Like, oh, get out of my face. You quit on this season. You're a straight up quitter. Don't ever do that in this city. It's like the worst.
But he's coming back. So, I mean,
you're going to have to put up with him.
Yeah, and you hope it. And honestly, that's why I'm not as upset about this as you, because I know he's coming back. I'm willing to write off this season as an anomaly. And if he's back next year, you hope that he's much closer to what he was his first 2 years with the Red Sox, which was a really, really good middle of the order guy, a guy that really they needed to replace David Ortiz. So, you know, obviously this whole season has been one epic fail for the Red Sox, and it can't end fast enough. And again, like I said, I look forward to you and Maz wrapping it all up on Monday at 6 p.m.
No, the Baseball Reporters is mercifully over, thank God. It ended last night at 7 p.m. Two games to go in this hell season, this worthless season. And I guess my message to J.D. Martinez, to bring it back to the beginning of this worthless season, would be, what's the term? Oh, you're right. Be better, J.D. Martinez.
Oh, no.
Be better. And you know, for those that don't remember, it was just a couple of months ago on this very show where I got scolded by one of the Red Sox media cartel. That would be Tom Caron of Nesson, paid by the Red Sox. Told me to be better because I, God forbid, didn't watch the Red Sox opener of this worthless 60-game season. And as they wrap up, Tom, the next 2 days, tonight, 7:10 against the Braves, a game no one will watch, and tomorrow against the Braves at 3:10, a game no one will watch, and rightfully so. I would say to you, Tom Caron, not only be better, but in the words of one Walter White.
What happened?
I won.
That's right. So who really was right here? Me. I was. Yes, I'm very petty.
You are so petty. This was like buried. Everybody had buried the hatchet. I love Tom Caron.
Buried the hatchet. I never buried that hatchet.
You didn't?
No, you drew first blood. What? I never forget.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But he, like, you know, he, like, had tweeted out about the show. He makes jokes about it now. It's like, you know, I felt like we were in a good place, and you just had to just.
One more time. Can I hear that again? It's just so perfect. In the words of Heisenberg, a.k.a. Walter White. Tom, go ahead.
I won.
That's right.
So you're unbelievable.
Now we don't have to talk about that godforsaken franchise for at least 6 months. Oh, God. Oh, finally.
Are you unburdened? Do you feel?
Oh, Chris, it makes me so happy.
Is this an Andy? Is this an Andy Dufresne moment?
Yeah. Yes. Hands to the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I crawled through 10 miles of crap. And finally, yes, finally. See you in San Juanteo, Maz. Paul in Rhode Island has a thought on Cam Newton. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I think Mr. Cam Newton is going to get a contract after he plays against the Chiefs and the Ravens. We'll see. I mean,
so you think Paul? You think it's coming within the next few weeks?
Well, I think he wants to dominate the AFC and let those two brothers know, hey, I'm still here, you know. But the other question I have for you, and Mr. Gasper and Mr. Murray,
yes.
In your opinion, if they have any money left off, give it to our snagglepuss kicker, That am I going to the left? Am I going to the right? I mean, shouldn't kickers be paid a little more money? Not 20th in the league? For God's sakes, I mean, you won two Super Bowls with kickers.
True.
And, Paul, thanks for the call.
My God.
If you could go ahead there, B-Rob, you can drop him. I think this thing froze.
We've been spoiled here having, and I know people feel differently than I do about Gostkowski, and after Belichick had the rule change about the extra points and he missed the one in Denver in the AFC Championship game, he wasn't quite the same. But we've overall been spoiled by the level of kicking we've had between Vinatieri and Gostkowski for, you know, basically 20 years. This is how it is in most of the NFL. It's like relievers in baseball and closers. It's like a year-to-year thing. A guy who was good 1 year suddenly stinks the next year. I mean, not everybody's Chicago or the Chargers or Tampa where you really struggle, but most NFL locales, you know, outside of like Baltimore and here, this is what it is. You're like, oh, crap. Our kicker stinks this year. We got to figure it out.
Yeah, I guess my issue overall is that they wasted a fifth-round draft pick on a kicker that, you know, certainly didn't sound like he could kick during training camp.
Oh, you mean the new Scott Sisson?
Yeah, and he's now on the practice squad. Doesn't sound like he's going to be brought up. Like, and Nick Folk's Nick Folk. Like, you can't expect him to really hit anything beyond 45 yards. That's just what he is, especially at that age. No, I hated how they specifically used a fifth-round draft pick and wasted it on a kicker who didn't even make the team, whereas you had the guy that most draft nicks looked at as the best kicker in the draft, Rodrigo Blankenship out of Georgia, go undrafted, make the Indianapolis Colts, and he's mostly been nailed so far from what I've seen the first couple of weeks. I know he was 4-for-4 last week in the Colts' first week.
Oh, he was 4-for-4?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. How's the rookie kicker doing in, and I know we got to go to five questions, how's the rookie kicker doing in Buffalo?
Because
that kid got drafted.
I can't speak to that. Blankenship was the guy I really wanted, so, you know, that's like, I'm spitefully paying attention.
I hear you. Tyler Bass. He's, let's see, he's made 3 field goals, and they don't mean, just looking at his numbers real quick.
They call him the Bass Man out there in Buffalo.
I know what you're doing there. Regular season, he's 3-for-5. He's made all his extra points. So, I mean, he's not exactly, he hasn't made anything over 40 yards. So he's not exactly lighting it up. So, I mean, yeah, it's tough. Rookie kickers, it's tough. But, yeah, I mean, obviously so far, Rohrwasser is a disappointment.
All right, and with that, let's get to 5 questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports.
I got 5 questions for Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got 5 questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got 5 questions.
5! 1, 2, 3, 4.
I got 5 questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right, 5 questions for Chris Gasper, Channel 5. Got nothing to do with sports. How we wrap up the show each and every week. We'll do that and make way for Christian Arcand coming up at the top of the hour. All right, Chris, question number 1. Have you ever used a tobacco product, whether it's a cigar, a pipe? You would strike me as a pipe man. Chewing tobacco, dip, what have you. Have you at any point in your life ever used tobacco?
No. And you know why? Because when I was young, we're both children of the 80s. Do you remember the C-3PO R2-D2 anti-smoking commercials they used to run?
You're on fire.
Yes, yeah. On channel 56. Yes,
yeah.
So I watched those, and I my mom used to smoke, and because of those, I begged her to stop smoking. So I've always been anti-tobacco, anti-smoking because of those commercials.
Some of those commercials really did work. You know,
that one worked for me. I mean, very big impression on me.
This is your brain on drugs. That worked.
Oh, yeah.
Up until a point. But, you know, for a time, boy. Like,
the egg.
My brain's going to turn into an egg. And then, as dumb Jimmy realized in high school, that egg feels pretty good. nothing to be proud about, but, you know, the scare tactic worked for a while there. But, yeah, well, I hadn't thought about that in ages. Oh, too, you're on fire. I have been a tobacconist at times in my life, yes. In fact, I just realized, son of a bitch, I'm going golfing right as we end the show, and I forgot to bring a cigar. Damn it. Question number 2, Chris. What's the most uncomfortable conversation you have ever had with your in-laws?
Oh, that's with my in-laws?
Or have you had that uncomfortable?
I mean, I really haven't. In fact, you know, when I first met my in-laws, it was great. It actually worked out perfectly for me. The first time I met them, I was taking my wife on a date, and it was actually an AIDS Action fundraiser. Mm. So I looked like I'm like, oh, we're going to this AIDS Action fundraiser in the South End. So no, like, I don't think I've ever really, I'm trying to think of like uncomfortable conversations. I honestly really can't think of one.
Yeah, thankfully, I haven't had any of those either. And I certainly have not done anything as nice as Taylor. Well, no, we've done some charitable stuff, the wife and I, but not like picking her up for a date and be like, oh, we're going out to
be perfect.
Good human beings.
They were this is back, you know, they watch, they're very smart, very educated. They watch a lot of PBS. So they were watching the PBS. They brought me in. You know, Charlie Rose was on. This was before Charlie Rose disgraced himself. And they were like, "Where, you know, what do you do? Where are you going?" And I was like, oh, this is perfect. We're going to this AIDS Action fundraiser.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look at you. Question number three. What place do you love so much, Chris, that you would love to be sponsored by them? In other words, you know, maybe like a Chick-fil-A, a Burger King, something like that. Is it? Who would you like to whore yourself out for?
Bloomingdale's.
Not really? I feel like that's like mid-range for you.
No,
there's nowhere higher
be
end.
Great. No. Yeah, I've gotten many good clothes there.
Okay. Fall is now here, Chris. Question number four. Usually I've asked you, what's your favorite thing about fall? What's the thing you don't like about fall the most?
Oh, getting dark earlier. It's already depressing. Like coming out of work and it's like, you know, 6:29 and it's dark. I'm like, what's this? Yeah. The fall back and it's dark at 4:30 thing drives me nuts.
That's not good. Yeah. And that's part of the why I'm so ecstatic that the Baseball Reporters is over. Like once it's seven, like it's straight up dark now, you know?
Good point. You're right.
And finally, it has also been announced that there has you know, no Halloween, cancellation of Halloween. Yeah. They don't want the kids going out trick-or-treating this year because of the hell pandemic.
Yeah.
Is that the right play, especially when we see the college football and the SEC returns? Like, isn't there a safer way, do you think, Chris, that we could have had the kids?
I don't know. I mean, trick-or-treating died years ago. Trick-or-treating died when people started doing it at the mall. You know, also, I've never really been big. Speaking of college football and Halloween, some years ago, when my family and Lynn moved into a new house in Lynn, it was like right around Halloween. It was on Halloween. We got our cable hooked up and Colorado and Nebraska were playing a college football game. So I didn't go out with my friends to trick or treat. And my parents took my brother and sister out. That left me. They said, OK, if you're not going to go trick or treat, you have to pass out the candy because your brother and sister are too young and they want to trick or treat. So I was home all by myself and this game was on and people kept coming to the door. So I then shut off the front lights. It didn't hand out any candy so I could watch the game.
Yeah, I've done that. And also, you know, here's the bowl. Have at it. And just one, you know, one greedy kid takes all of it. Like, I don't have that kind of time.
And I was only like 13 or 14 at the time.
Yeah,
and
the same.
Yeah. I just shut it. I shut off the lights. I stopped answering the door. I'm like, this is a really good game.
Yeah. I've got things to do here, Daddy.
Exactly.
And with that, let's wrap. That's it. Chris Gasper, always a pleasure. Catch him on Channel 5. You'll be on tomorrow night, as usual, late Sunday night.
Yes, SportsCenter 5 OT. I will be on tomorrow night. We're on at 11:35.
Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal. Read his Celtics coverage there. We got Game 6. A good sports day tomorrow.
I'm also on with Beadle.
Oh, that's right,
You know, Patriots pregame tomorrow starting 10 a.m.
Yeah, so leading into Patriots Raiders here on the Sports Hub. Postgame with myself and Joe Murray. Tune in for that. And then we got Brady and the Bucks against Denver tomorrow, 4:25, followed by the Celtics Sunday night. Good sports day ahead tomorrow. Kristen Arcan's up next. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. If I don't hear from you tomorrow in the post game, see you Monday with Felger and Mez. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.